Beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. Allow yourself to contemplate that to the place where you realize it. You make real in your consciousness that which you truly are, have been, and always will be. A child of light, the expression, the extension of light, of divinity, come forth into this reality to play for a while. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me. And it is in great joy that I come to spend again some of your most precious time with you. Because I know how much you value your time. And I thank you for allowing me to spend time with you. It is a joy always to be in your presence. I watch you as you go throughout your day and as you play and as you smile. I watch you as you ask the questions. I watch you as you find the answers that sometimes surprise you, and you find your strength. And you wonder, where has that come from? Deep within you, of course. And it has come to the surface. And you are recognizing it and feeling great joy in it. I watch you as you smile at the brothers and sisters and you give forth the most wonderful light, a healing light that heals everything, every issue, everything that you would ever want to have the knowledge of, the wholeness of it. I watch you as you smile, and I watch you as you take the breath of life each moment as a gift that you give unto yourself. Take that deeply within the consciousness and understand that every breath you take is a breath of life, and it is a gift. The incarnation is a gift that you give to yourself. Now, when you are finished with the incarnation, does that mean that you are going to be finished? No. You are going to continue on in the consciousness and the awareness of life itself. There are ones who are, I'm not speaking of ones in this grouping or within the sound of my voice, but there are others of the brothers and sisters who are fearful of laying down the body, releasing the body, because there is the fear of, where am I going to be? Am I going to cease being? Or is it going to be worse than that? Because of the religious philosophical teachings that have said that every time you have slipped up or done something that is not of the approved regimen, that you are going to have to atone for it. Well, there is a truth in that. Yes, you are going to have to atone for every idea of separation. You're going to have to come to that place of knowing at one ment, and to atone, come to that place of knowing at one meant with the whole self of you, but not in the way that it means that when you release the body, you are going to have to be punished or cleansed or burned until you are purified. But there are many of the brothers and sisters who have that belief. It has been given to them by the peers and by the parents and by the generations. But when you release the body, it is most joyful. You have heard the saying, goes to the light. And it is truly your own light that you go to. The light that is always allowing you to have the incarnation, but that you do not see it all of the time because you are focusing on something else, usually. And so when you release the body, you go to the light, your own light, the expansion of light, which is truly you. And it is very freeing and very joyful. You have released at that point the heaviness of having to drag the body around or take care of whatever part of the body or parts of the body that have become a bit heavy. And there is a freedom to then express and experience the whole divinity. So as you get opportunity speak to ones. That truly, the releasement of the body is a no thing. It is very easily done, although it does take some energy to release the body. It takes a willingness and it takes a bit of energy. That is why oftentimes the family is called to be around the bedside of the one who is ready to release the body, to make the transition, as it is called, because the energy of the loving family around is used to allow that releasement, sort of like popping the cork, into a new dimension. But the most wonderful thing is the loved one then is still alive, is still aware of the family that has gathered, is still aware that I'm still conscious, I'm still alive, and I am free. And I am free to live in that space of the most wonderful remembrance of where I was most happy. And so for a time outside of time, you go to the memory of where you were most happy, the time of life when you were most happy, when the body was perhaps in its prime, when the personality felt that it was expanding and realizing what it wanted to realize. And there is the shedding of the old, old skin of the body. And one is free to watch, to be with the loved ones, and to comfort the loved ones if they will receive it. So I share this with you in this evening so that you can share it with other ones. That yes, you are going to miss the company of a loved one. That is natural for a time period. Of course, you are going to miss having the usual conversation. But the conversation is still possible. And that sometimes is most surprising, because you will be thinking about whatever, and all of a sudden the loved one will pop into the mind with an idea, or something that they used to say, or perhaps a favorite phrase, or a favorite song that they had, or something. And it is their way of communing with you, speaking with you. And as you will acknowledge them, this brings them again great joy, because they have come to a place where they know the connection with you, that there is no separation. And they are trying to get through to you, because as you are still looking this way with the blinders on, they're knocking on the head or the heart and saying, look, I'm still here. I'm still with you. And furthermore, they're saying to you, I am quite happy. I thank you for all that you did for me in the lifetime, the previous lifetime that has just been released. I thank you for all the sacrifices, all the times that you were there for me. I thank you for living your life and sometimes allowing me, although I didn't perhaps appreciate it at the time, they say, allowing me to live my life the way it had to be. When you released me and said, you know, go out into the world, do your own thing, or you are capable of being on your own, you don't have to rely on me, type of thing, which sometimes is hard for a person to hear. They recognized then that that was a time of growth. A time of growth for you, because it would take courage to say to a loved one, I allow you your journey. I bless you on your journey, but I don't have to be right with you, taking care of you, leading you all the way. And it is a time of growth that then they recognize, because they can see the whole picture, the holy picture of how each piece of the jigsaw puzzle goes together to make the most wonderful tapestry, the most wonderful picture. When you are with the incarnation, there is a specific focus that I have spoken of oftentimes that is most miraculous, what you do, because you focus so completely, at least up to this point you have, on the incarnation, the body, the tasks that have to be done, and what you should do, or where you should be, etc., all the things you've been taught. You focus upon that, to the setting aside of the allness of you. But now, as we have been speaking in last evening, you are coming to a place of releasing that veil that has kept you in a place of saying, this is who I am, and this is what I've been told that I am. But all of you have been questioning and saying, perhaps I am more than this. And that is the first step to releasing the veil. When you come to that questioning of saying, perhaps there's more to me than what I have acknowledged up to this point, or what others have told me that I could be. That is the first and most wonderful step in allowing the thinning of the veil. And you have all done that. You would not be here in this evening, in this group, without having come to a place of saying, but what is life all about? Certainly it has more purpose than just being born, living according to the various stages of life, doing what society says I have to do, and then releasing the body. There has to be a reason. There has to be more purpose to it. I have to be. I know that I am more than what others have said that I am. And so you have been reading the books, going to the workshops, talking with the friends, listening to your magnetic recordings, all the different technology that you so wondrously bring forth. I will digress for a moment here, but I am very interested in your technology. I love to watch the inventions that you bring forth. And the most wonderful one lately that you have been doing is this little tiny earpiece. I have seen it in the color blue. Now I have seen it in the color pink. I suppose you're going to have fashion colors of it, known as the Bluetooth. But now it is coming out in all the other colors as well, where you are immediately connected to anyone you want to speak with. As you, well, some decades ago, you invented the telephone, many decades ago, and it was a piece, well, you had it on the wall for a while, then it became on the desk, and then it became smaller and smaller, until now a good percentage of you carry it in the pocket or in the purse, you have it with you all the time. And then you said, but that's too much trouble to carry it in the pocket and have to open it up and put it up to the ear. I'm going to wear it on my ear all the time. And the wonderful thing about that, it is showing you how connected you are. You do things first in the outer to prove to yourself the inner. Now, truly the idea for all the technology comes from the inner. Then it is put into evidence in the outer, and then you begin to realize that would not be happening if it weren't for the fact that it is a truth, that we are all connected. So you're going to get to the place, and you already have, where you know what another one is thinking. You can converse with another one as they are activating the body or not, because you are on the same, as you have called it, same wavelength. And you know what they are thinking, what they are feeling. You can read another person as they walk into the room. You can feel if they are happy, or you can feel if they are having a certain persona that says, I am happy, but really on the inside I'm struggling. Or you can see if they walk in and they're really, 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 really down. You can see that also. You can feel their energy. All of you have been the healers in other lifetimes, where you have read the chakras and you have been able to see what was activated and what needed a bit of a jolt, either through the most wonderful vibration of tone, which you have just had, that has been a healing methodology, or through the use of the colors that you wear, again, vibration of healing. The jewelry that you wear, the crystals, magnify the vibration around you. Each and every one of you, you select that which is healing for you. You know how intuitively to choose what to wear, how to be for your healing. Most Each and every one of you is a holy child of the Father, greatly, greatly loved. And as you will allow yourself to know that love, the heart opens, the heart chakra, but also the very cells of the muscle of the heart expand. And there is healing that happens in any part of the body that needs it. As you will realize how loved you are, that is why I have such a blessed opportunity to walk amongst you and to reach out and to touch, to say to one, you are most beautiful because you are. The heart of you is most beautiful. That I see, that I feel. But I also have opportunity through this body of my beloved friend and teacher, the one you know as Judith, to use the physical eyes to see the physical beauty that you bring forth. Creation that you bring forth as you create the body, as you adorn the body, as you allow the body to be very vitally alive. The smile that you wear all of the time that enlivens everyone who sees the smile. It is my joy to be able to read the energy of each one, to see the most wonderful aura that is around each one of you. I see, as I have said, the physicality of you, and you do a wonderful job of bringing it all together, keeping the light coalesced into a denser form of body. But there is also the most wonderful aura around each one of you. And as I have seen you playing with each other, the auras have been most wonderful because they have expanded and melded in with everyone else's aura until you could not tell which aura, which light belonged to which one. You think that you are a certain expression, individualized energy of light. And you are. But you are also much more than that, because you are allowing your aura, the divine energy of the light that you are, to expand so that it expands to the one next to you, the one here, the one behind, in front, throughout the whole room. This room, if you were to turn off the lighting, which again is a great technological advance, as you call it, this room would be full of light because of you. You can test this out. In fact, it is a fun thing to do. Allow yourself, the next time you have a wee bit of time, and it only takes maybe 15 minutes of your time, go into a closet in one of your, in your dwelling place, some place that doesn't have the light in it. It doesn't have a window, it doesn't have artificial light, etc. And a closed door. And at first it will feel that you are sitting perhaps with a blindfold on because everything is dark. As you sit there, your scientists will say that the eyes accustom themselves to the darkness, to the place where there is more of the aperture opening that takes in the light and you can see more light. And it does, that does happen on a physical level. But the light that you see is the light that you are radiating in that space. So you can play with that just as a fun thing to do. Just to sit in a place that is completely dark for a moment or so, sometimes, you know, 5 minutes. Sometimes 5 minutes can feel like 5 hours. But you can sit there for whatever time it takes until you see the light on many levels. You are allowing the veil to become so thin. Your scientists come along behind you, and then they give you the evidence, and they explain how things happen. But you are already way ahead of them, because you're doing it. then they have to come. And sometimes they get into great discussions about whether it is this or it is that. Or the most famous one about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Well, it is infinite, of course, outside of space, which does not truly exist. All of the angels you can ever imagine are contained within you. Anyway, can you dance on the head of a pin?
It would be a challenge, I think.
Well, now does it perhaps depend on the size of the pin?
That may have some bearing, yeah.
There you go, you see? You do not have to be limited by what has usually been thought of as the head of the pin, all right? Make it this big. Then you can dance on it more easily. You see, you have been trained to think in a certain way. Every concept that has been given to you has a truth in it, but it has been limited by generational thinking down through time. Once upon a time, I will tell you a story, a true story. Once upon a time, before there was time, you thought to create. You wondered what it would be like to bring forth a world. You didn't call it that, but you wondered, what can I create? And from that first moment outside of time, all realities were birthed. Like that is what your scientists have called the Big Bang, although they have interpreted it as being a physicality. But from that moment, before time began, all realities were birthed with the one idea, the one questioning, what can I create? The I being the one creator that you are, all joined together. And so from that have come the multitude of realities. This reality believes in time. It believes in process. It believes that there is a beginning, such as the Big Bang, and that there have been other events happening until finally there will be an end of time at some point. Logical, yes. But in truth, you live and move and have your being outside of time because you are the creators of time. And you have seen how you can make time do what you need it to do. You can make it stand still sometimes when you have to get somewhere and you don't have enough time to get there in the usual sense, but you do. You may even arrive early. Other times you can spend 1 minute with somebody that you are not in resonance with, and that 1 minute can seem like an eternity. So you are the makers of time. You make it do exactly what your perception of it is. You are the makers of all of your concepts. This reality is a concept full of other concepts. And in this reality, those concepts are based upon the belief in separation from the allness. It wasn't always thus. When we first brought forth, in cooperation with the light of our Holy Mother, the Earth, the physicality known as the universe and the planet, we knew that we were the creators that were bringing forth this coalescence of light that is the most beautiful planet. You have seen pictures from what you call your physical space, looking back at our Holy Mother Earth. Is it not a jewel? Yes. It is beautiful. We have created that. Eons of time ago, as you measure time, and moment by moment by moment. It would not exist except through your belief moment by moment that it does exist. But it is very good. Keep on believing. It is a good place to put your feet. Meantime, anyway. At first, we knew the freedom of light. We knew the freedom of thought. And we knew the freedom of creating. And we were quite rejoiceful in our creations. And there came about a bit of competitiveness. You know that well, that my creation is better than yours. It was subtle. At first it was very, very subtle. It wasn't even understood to be a competitive thought. But it grew to the place where my creation is most wonderful, and I have to defend it against anyone else's creation that might want to do away with it because they might not think that they wanted to be in competition with what I'm creating. So therefore, I have to defend it. And you have come to this place right now where you have to defend the body because there is this belief that that is where you reside, and if something happens to the body, as we just spoke about releasement, where am I going to be? Where am I going to live if I don't have the body? Well, as we have said, you're going to keep on living. But down through, again, the concept of time, the creations became the dictators to the place where fear and a feeling of separation came, where you didn't remember, we didn't remember, that we were the ones creating the creations. And we didn't remember that all creation comes from one source. This gave rise to the idea of separation, that somehow I could be separate from my source. Don't even know what that is. You know, you've gone around. What's my source? Well, it's called God. What's God? Well, and then you have many, many, many definitions, most all of them putting God as an entity out there that rules you. You have put other things in the place of God, such as astrology and the sun signs that will, quote, define your life. What sign were you born under? Oh, well, you'd better watch out for certain times of seasons, etc., or certain times, stages of life, you know, that sun sign, etc. It's fun. It's a game. It's something you have created to play with. The same as your games manufacturers always have to come up with new ideas of new games to play with. This one, astrology, is a very old one, and it is still a very good game. It gives you entertainment to play with. But when you get to the place of giving it the power of saying that because I was born under a certain sun sign, therefore it dictates how my life is going to be, then you are into a place of separation. Then you are into a place where there is the opportunity for fear. There is nothing outside of you. There is nothing that you need fear. Hear that well. Everything that comes to you that would seem to be a gifting of fear, right on the platter in front of you, like, you better be afraid of this. This has power over you. Is an opportunity for you to then stand in your power and to feel, truly acknowledge your reality of who you are. That is why you have created fear in the first place, in order to do away with it. I know it's sort of backdoor logic, but that is why you have created fear, so that you can then come up over it, overcome it, and come to the place of knowing how strong you are, how divine you are, and how you are the one who is creating the events and circumstances that might be fearful. And then you take that deep breath that we speak of so often, and you say, okay, I acknowledge the appearance. And the appearance can be rather fearsome. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to laugh at it. It does not have power over me. I'm going to ask of this one, may I borrow the chapeau?
Of course you can.
And then you are going to do the most wondrous thing, because you are going to change your perception. You are going to put on a new hat so that you are no longer the person you were a moment ago who could be in fear or something, but you are putting on a new hat, a new persona, a new acknowledgement of who I am. You have opportunity then to laugh at the situation. I have seen your most wonderful fashions, and they are. I see how you wear it this way. Sometimes you wear it this way. Wonderful, you see? You're most creative. I asked my beloved friend and teacher, who then asked a male member of the gender, why some would wear it this way. And it was explained to me that when you wear it with the larger part called the brim in front, it is as a sunshade. And then some of your ones, they wear it this way. And it is a most wonderful way of keeping the rain off the back of your neck. You see how creative all of you are. Thank you, beloved brother. When you are willing to make a change in perception, everything else has to change, because you are the creators. And as you decree that there's going to be a change, everything else in the whole universe has to shift and change. You are the ones who are in control. You are the ones who are decreeing what is reality, lowercase r, to you. You are coming from that place of the capital R, reality, to play with all of the lowercase r realities that you can ever think of to create. So over time, there came the identification with the creations to the place where there had to be the defense of the creation, where there was the opportunity for fear that perhaps something would happen to the creation. And you took on responsibility for the loved ones, for the family, for the dwelling place, for the geopolitical grouping that you might belong to, the country, etc., where you were willing to go and release the body in defense of the geopolitical grouping. You have seen that in your day and time now, as it is happening. And you have come full circle to the place now where you are beginning to understand that you are the ones creating everything you perceive. Now that is a bit of a difficult truth to take within, because separated ego wants to say, no, I'm not creating all of that conflict that is going on somewhere else, or even the conflict that's going on within me. I'm not creating it. It's someone else who is in charge. There is no one else. There is only truly one of us. And as you will take the stance that I am willing to choose anew, I am willing to see things differently, I am willing to perceive things in a peaceful way, in a healing way, everything, truly everything, has to rearrange itself. That is how powerful you are. Things will happen, yes. We have spoken of this, how you do not deny appearances. I did not deny when ones came to me and they said they were suffering. I could see that they were suffering. You do not deny appearances, but you look beyond the appearance. And you look to the Christ that is working in that appearance. And you look beyond the appearance to the place where you see how that thread weaves itself most wonderfully into the tapestry. You all have certain acknowledgement of threads that you like better than others. And some of you would say, well, I don't like a certain color Just for example, we will pick the color of, I can't even think of a good color that no one likes. You are a very agreeable group here. And you might say, well, I don't want that color in my tapestry. But if you did not have that color in your tapestry, it would not be complete. So sometimes you are going through events and circumstances where the color of the thread doesn't feel quite to your liking. Allow yourself to say, this has to bring contrast to the rest of the colors, the other threads in the tapestry, and the tapestry would not be complete without this thread. And so I will allow it, I will bless it, I will appreciate it. And then it becomes different for you. Doesn't mean it has changed its color, but your perception of it changes. And that is what you want to work with, what you want to play with, is your perception of what is going on. And then your world. Your world within yourself changes, and the outer world has to change as well. You have heard the concept of the 100th monkey, where if you have enough of the monkeys who are doing the same thing, there comes all of a sudden the jump to the place where there is the consciousness that makes the great change for all of the monkeys. I am not calling you monkeys. But as you and other ones of like mind hold the vision of peace, hold the vision of respect for the potential of each one to know his, her Christness, the Christhood, and the divinity, you come to a place where there is this evolutionary leap. That is what is happening right now. You have many prophecies that have talked about this time and about the great shift that is happening. And ones have said, well, it is going to be in such and such a year. It is going to be in such and such an hour. It will be, as you look back on it with the hindsight, you will say, aha, that is the turning point. That is when there was the shift. But as you are in the process, which is what you are doing right now, it is difficult to say it is going to be happening on October the 17th of such and such a year or whatever. Just know that you are in the process of bringing forth this evolutionary shift, of lifting the veil to the place where you know that you respect each one's creative abilities. That is why you have the sharing that you have with ones who have brought their expertise in physical form to share with you, their expertise in what they have been studying to share with you, their expertise of life experience to share with all, each and every one of you. You have, every one of you, a unique gift to give, because of the journey that you have made in this lifetime, which then has been built upon previous lifetime experiences as well. Each and every one of you has a unique gift to share. And as you acknowledge that, you are acknowledging the Christ. You are acknowledging that the Christ is alive and well, playing with you and as you. And there comes then a subtle but most powerful change that brings you to the place where you acknowledge, I am that which I am, that which I have been before time, and that which I will always be even after the completion of time. I am the extension of the one creative intelligence. I don't call it a being, but I call it intelligence. One creative thought, capital T, one creative intelligence that is forever ongoing. Now that is a fun concept to play with, because separated ego says, But there's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. How can it be ongoing? Eternity. Well, that sounds really good, but I can't wrap my mind around eternity. I guess it's out there somewhere, and it is. It is beyond the concept of time. And it is you. Because you are going to be ongoing. After you have finished playing in this sandbox, you are going to go on to another sandbox and see what is in that sandbox, what castles you can build in that sandbox, and on and on and on and on. Because that is the nature of creation, of the creative one, is to be forever creating. So you are going to be ongoing, sometimes with a form, many times without form. You know that. You already feel that. You know that you have had what will be termed lifetimes that have been outside of time, that have been outside of form, as you understand form to be. But you have always been consciousness, intelligence. And as you will allow yourself to acknowledge, I am always that which I have been from before time, and I will be beyond the concept of time, it frees you up to deal with whatever you are facing right in front of the face. Because oftentimes, whatever you are in the middle of is right here, and you can't see any farther than the palm of the hand when it's right in front of you. But as you will hold that knowing within you, that yes, this is something to be dealt with, but it is not all that there is, it allows you hope. And hope is one of the greatest gifts that you have built into this reality. Hope that things are going to get better. And it is a truth. Things are going to get better because you are going to say, I feel okay with this, whatever it is. I know that it serves the atonement. It serves my atonement. I know that I'm going to come to a place where all these things that have been so challenging to me are no longer going to be stumbling blocks to me. I know. I hope. And then you go the step further. I know. I know that my Creator loves me. There is such power in that. Every morning when you awaken, if you will say that to yourself, I know that my Creator loves me. Now, who is your Creator? Yes, yourself, with a capital S, as you have termed it, the higher self. I know that my Creator loves me, because you do love you. The greater self of you that sees everything you are doing and understands why you are doing it loves you throughout everything. It is as you see the small ones when they are playing in the sandbox. We will use that as example, in the sandbox. And you see ones who will build quite nicely the various structures. And then you see other ones who want to knock over the structure that's just been made. And you see the ones who toss the sand up in the air because they want to see what's going to happen. And they find out it comes down on top of them. Okay? It was for the experience of it. You love them no matter what they are going through because you know that they are experiencing. They are expanding in their awareness of what they can do, who they are, through every little thing that they do. So sometimes you want to get in there and give them a bit of advice, and you say, hey, you know, I've gone down this road a few years ago when I was, you might not want to do that. Of course not. They are great masters themselves, and they have decreed that they are going to know experience and expression in their own way. And yes, you can share as a friend to another friend, but you cannot make them see what you see or how you perceive something, because their perceptions have to be their own perceptions. And they have to be the ones who change their perceptions. You can't do it for them. You can help them with certain things that you say to them and certain experiences that you have had that you can draw from, but they're still going to make their own choices. So you love them. You appreciate them. And you look at each and every one as the most wonderful facet of the gemstone. We have spoken of this other times, how you have the gemstone that is cut into many, many facets to reflect the light, to bring forth the light, the brilliance of light. Each and every one of you is a facet of the most wonderful gemstone of light. All of you radiating your own aspect, your own facet, from your experiences. And taken as a whole, most wonderful to behold. Remember that in times when you feel that perhaps your life isn't going the way you wanted it to go, or perhaps some of the brothers and sisters feel that their life is not worth anything. Every facet is important for the whole gemstone. Every thread is important in the tapestry. And sometimes you are the one who is going to make the difference for them by saying that you appreciate who they are, what they are. And sometimes you don't even need to have the words. You may go to another country that speaks with another grouping of sounds, known as another language, and you wonder, how am I going to converse with another one and to say to this other one, I recognize who you are. You don't have to have the sounds of the language. You look at another one and you smile. And in that smile is the Christ to Christ. No words. Oftentimes words get in the way, as you have found. You have tried with friends to explain whatever, and then you finally come to the place where you've said, oh, just give me a hug. And then that does it. You don't even need words. This would be a good time now to take a very short break, to put a bit of the water into the body and to release a bit of the water. And what you see to be 7.5 minutes of your time, we will meet again. So be it. Now, we continue. As beloved Elder was speaking with you earlier in the day about being able to use the mind subjectively to go to the inner, to go into the past, and also to go into the future. We have been speaking in the first part of this evening about the past, about why things have come to be in this reality where you have felt such separation from yourself, the capital S self, and where you have felt that the veil was very, very thick, as a blindfold would be, as we were showing last evening, where if you roll up that veil into many, many, many layers, and you put it across the eyes, it is as a blindfold. That has happened down through the ages of time, where the veil has been very, very thick, and you have not been even to the place of questioning if there could be more of you, or more reason for being, rather than just having to fulfill whatever that lifetime society said the lifetime had to be, to take care of the small ones, to fulfill whatever your role in society was, etc. And where there was only focus upon survival, you have known many, many lifetimes where the focus was purely upon survival, as it was evidenced to be, as your perception said, I have to keep the body. I have to survive, and I have to keep the body going. Otherwise, I will not exist. And this was told to you by your authorities, ones whom you thought had more knowledge than you did. And so you bought it, and you paid a good price for it. But it was an experience. And then, as we have said, you began to question, perhaps I am more than what I have been told that I am. Perhaps life is more than just about survival. Perhaps I can change things just by my thinking, just by changing my perception of things. So now, in this second half of this evening, we are going to go into the future. Exciting. Good. Because sometimes ones will think about the future and it will be with fear. Because there has been, again, the generational teaching that no matter how bad the present may be, I don't want it to change because I might be moving into something worse. But when I spoke to you just now about moving into the future, it was a great revelation for you and for all of the ones who are going to be hearing this message, that your response was, oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Because truly the future is what you have been dreaming, you have been hoping for, you have been asking for and praying for. You have been wanting the future to be different than the past. And that is why you have been willing to make changes. Why you have been willing to make trek even to come to this gathering. It has been an effort for all of you to come to this gathering. You had to arrange everything, many things. You had to work past and through fears of what will happen if I go. Not only for yourself, but what will happen to the ones who are going to be on their own taking care of themselves when I'm not there. Even down to the place of the beloved pets. Are they going to be okay without me? Is the caretaker of the pets going to be knowing what they're doing?
Yeah.
Exactly. There was much that you had to think about, and it took much courage to say, yes, I'm going to be there. I intend to be there, and I'm going to make it happen. Moving into your future now is going to be one of rejoicing, one of freedom, one of allowing all of the old shackles of old belief to be shed. Because in truth, those shackles were only concepts that were given to you and that you then reinforced throughout experiences in many lifetimes. But those shackles and those concepts are just ideas that you accepted, that the body has to age, that the body has to have some suffering. You've been taught that if you suffer enough in this reality, you will gain a golden crown in another reality. So therefore, you'd better suffer.
The more the better.
That has been the teaching, yes. And so you have said, okay, I will devise for myself a life of suffering because I know that once I am out of this, then I will have... Well, there is a culture that believes it just now, that they are going to have, what is it, 77 virgins?
Oh.
Something like that. You see, the belief, it goes as a thread throughout many, many cultures in different ways. But moving into your future, it is open to whatever you want it to be. Truly every moment is open to what you want it to be and how you want to structure it. That is how powerful you are. And you have seen this, you have proved it to yourself because you have sometimes been going along in the old way of thinking and all of a sudden there has been a revelation that has come to you and you have said, you know, this relationship that we've been in, it has been good. It has had its good moments. But what we're moving into now is an expansion. where there's going to be growth on both sides of the relationship. And perhaps we are not going to be doing it the way society has said a relationship has to be, but we're going to do it in our own way, and we're going to grow through it. And you know, that is really, you have said to the other person, a gift that you are giving to me, because you are forcing me to grow. I, you have said, don't want to leave this relationship. I have envisioned that I would be in this relationship until I release the body. I went through a certain ceremony with you that said, until death do us part. And so I thought I was going to be with you forever and ever. And now you tell me that we're not going to be. And I begin to understand that the until death do us part means the death of the belief system, not the death of the body, but the death of the belief system that says that I have to live according to society's rules. Well, you, the generations now that are growing and living and expressing, you are breaking out all of the old boundaries of what relationship means and how it has to be. Love, you have seen, is the important basis for any relationship. It does not matter if it is between the male gender and the female gender, or whether it is between female and female gender, or male and male gender. Love is the important thing, and the understanding and respect that is given, exchanged, and understood. And so when the relationship comes to that place of changing, and you go through all of the old thinking that has said, well, I thought I knew security with you. It wasn't very good, but, you know, we had our ups and downs, but it was secure because I knew there were going to be ups and downs. At least I had that security. But now you're telling me I don't have that security. And you come to the realization where you go up to that person and you say to them, thank you for the gift that you have given me, because you are forcing me now to know relationship with myself. And that is truly the most important relationship. It's when you come to knowing the relationship with self. Lowercase s first, and then uppercase s, because that is what it is going to do. And it is a time of growth, a time when it is a birthing from the caterpillar stage, perhaps, that was surrounded by a cocoon, and you're then being thrust out as the butterfly to try out your wings, and you're saying, look at these flimsy little wings. How am I ever going to survive? But you do, and you become the most beautiful being, the butterfly. And you live as the expression of the divinity of creation in a new creation. Moment by moment, you have opportunity to make your future as you want it to be. You are wanting to know, how does it feel to be Christ? How would it feel if I awakened tomorrow in the morning and I knew myself to be Christ and I knew that I was going to be happy all day long?
Yeah, that's good.
That would be cool, right?
Yeah.
I like your terminology. It would be cool.
Way cool.
Way cool. Awesome as well. Definitely awesome. You would be, will be, in awe of the perception change that you can do. Allow yourself to play with that tomorrow in the morning, first thing when you awaken. Not only do you say to yourself, I know that my Creator loves me, but awaken and say, I am awakening as the Christ that I am, and I am going to be happy in this day. Everything that happens in this day is going to bring me joy. Everyone I meet is going to smile at me in their own way, even if it is downward turned. It is going to be a smile. They are going to be happy to see me because I'm going to be happy to see them. Everything that happens in this day is going to be because the Christ is living, because I am living as the Christ. You have that power. It waits only for you to turn the key in the ignition and to start it up. You are that close to it. So when you awaken on the morrow, turn the key in the ignition and say, I am the Christ. I am living this day as the Christ. I am going to go up to everyone, and I'm not going to overpower them with my Christhood. But I am going to smile as the Christ smiles upon each and every one, because I know who I am. And you will see miracles happening. Tomorrow is going to be a day of miracles for you. Now, in truth, you don't even have to wait till tomorrow. Already there has come a change in your thinking. With the laughter that you just did, there has come a change in your thinking where you have realized, hey, you know, I don't have to wait till tomorrow. What's he saying about tomorrow? Tomorrow's here right now. I can do it now. I can be playful. I can be the Christ. I am the Christ. Hey, how does that feel? Everything in this day from now on is going to bring me joy. Everything is going to bring me happiness. I am going to be happy in this day. Some of you have already realized that, and it has made such a change in your life and in the way you see life and in the way you interact with other ones and the way you give them hope, because you have been courageous enough to choose, to turn that key in the ignition and to begin to live as the Christ, the fully realized Christ. Now, always you have been the Christ. But when you turn that key in the ignition, you live and begin that life as the fully realized Christ. I realize I am Christ. I realize that I can see the light, the joy in each and every one in their eyes, even if they cannot see it. Because many of the brothers and sisters go about with the sunshades on, and everything appears dark to them. Well, you have taken off the sunshades to the place where sometimes it is brilliant. The light is so bright, yes, that it makes you blink. Sometimes it even keeps the maid awake at night because your light is so bright. They have a joke that goes on between them that the mate, when she was having a bit of trouble sleeping at night, it was because the mate was so bright, his light was so bright, that it was keeping her awake. Well, of course. Very good. All of you are living in great joy, great happiness. Allow yourself to, right now, soften the eyes just a wee bit. Keep them open, but just allow them to soften a wee bit and to look upon me, just with soft, easy eyes, and to behold the aura, the light around me, just to see the light that is glowing around me. Allow the eyes just to soften, to be easy. Not completely unfocused, but just easy. And if at first you don't really see it, or you question if you see it, then just imagine what it would look like. See the light as I walk, as the light walks with me, around me, and as me. See that happening. Feel that light, because truly the aura, it extends as far as you can see it, and then beyond as well, because it is vibration that goes out forever. It is not limited. So you can feel it as well as see it. Allow yourself to see the light. Now, I ask of you to turn to a neighbor, a friend sitting next to you. You can do this. Just easily turn. You can look at that one. And behold with the soft eyes their light. See the love that is in that light. Allow the eyes to soften to the place where you behold only their light. Allow that light to grow in your awareness. See the Christ light of them. Feel the love that is in that light, that love that has attracted you to that one that you are sitting next to. For there are no accidents. You are sitting next to the very one whose light you have been attracted to and whose light you want to be in, within. Each one of you, there are no accidents. Even if you came and the seat where you thought you were going to sit was filled by someone and you had to take another seat, it was by divine appointment. Feel the love that is in that light that has attracted you. Feel yourself loving that other one, seeing the Christ of them. If you know them very well, you know the challenges that they have been working with. But that does not matter now. What you see now is their light, their love. They're wanting to be loved, and they're wanting to give love. The greatest gift you can give to another one is to accept their love. To say to them in words or in feeling, I accept your love. I am one in love with you. I am in love with you. For that is the truth of your being. I am in love with you. I say that all of the time to you because I am in love with you. That is why I reach out and touch in order to put it into the physical realm. I am in love with you because that is where we dwell, in love. And it is very good if the emotions come up and the waterworks happen. It is a most joyful cleansing that happens. For many, many lifetimes, it has not been safe for you to show emotions, and you have had to keep armor around yourself. Many cultures, many generational teachings have said that you have to be strong, that you cannot show any emotion, unless, of course, it might be anger. But to show love, that would be a weakness. And so for many lifetimes, you have held back the waterworks because that would be a sign of weakness. But it is truly a sign of great courage in order to allow yourself to be seen by another one, the true self of you, to open up to the true self and allow that to be seen by another one and to say, this is who I am. I am in joy with myself. I am crying tears of joy. I am crying tears that I could not cry in other lifetimes when I wanted to, because I wanted to be loved and I wanted to give love, but it was not safe to do it. Now I can be open with myself and with you. And those are tears of joy that come forth, tears of freedom, tears of great love. It is not by accident that they come forth. And it is not by accident. Sometimes you feel that you're going to be overwhelmed by them. In truth, you will not be overwhelmed by them. You cannot be. Because again, they are your creation. You are creating them. So there is no power outside of you that is going to overwhelm you. But sometimes the emotions, because they have been held back for so many lifetimes, feel that they can be overwhelming. Allow them to pour forth. Because what is at the root of all of the waterworks is love. Wanting to be loved, wanting to love, wanting to feel free enough to show that love, to be open in that love, to see the Christ in each other's eyes. You have just now walked into your future. In the past few minutes when we have been speaking, you have walked into the future that you have been praying for. When you have looked at another one with the love in your eyes, that is your future. When you have been willing to say tomorrow when you awaken, I am the awakening Christ, I awaken as the Christ, in this day I will go forth and experience how it feels to be Christ. I will turn the key in the ignition and I will allow the fully realized Christ to play. And if separated ego comes into play, once in a while in the day, because separated ego has been your companion for many, many lifetimes, that is okay. You say to separated ego, "Hi, I know you well, old friend. You have journeyed with me many, many lifetimes. I know you well. But now I do not need to have separation. I know that truly you have only been a concept that I have played with. And I don't need you any longer to be that kind of plaything. You can be a companion and come with me. We will play as the Christ that we are with no separation. And the little ego is going to be very happy to come with you in freedom and in joy. Because the little ego has served you all of the lifetimes when you believed that you had to have the little ego to defend you, or to give you belief that you had to defend something. And now you are freeing that little ego to move into its true self as the I am ego. So as you go through the day on the morrow as the Christ, if there is a moment or so when you get into old thinking, then there's a good possibility that might happen when separated ego comes rushing in. You just say to separated ego, companion, friend that I know so well, I free you now to be that which you truly are, the I am ego, because I no longer need to feel separate. And separated ego is going to say, phew, boy, I played that role for an awful long time for you. Now, you have freed the separated ego to be that which it has always been designed to be, the true ego, the I am ego. Whoa, really great. Okay, beloved ones, have you enough homework now? Oh. Have you enough inspiration?
Oh, yes.
Have you enough of the energy of willingness to say tomorrow, or even before, yes, I am going to be,
yes,
knowing the fully realized Christ that I am?
Yes.
Okay, then I grant unto you that which you already have. I grant unto you the permission to begin right now to walk, to talk, to feel, to experience, and to express as the Christ which you are. So be it.
So be it.